musical stylings of the incredibly talented and verbose. I just pulled that out of the air. Got K. Yeah, verbose.
I watched you do that.
That's actually a command in Unix.
Oh, is it?
Well,
verbose?
You don't type verbose, but minus V always means verbose. So.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. It just is.
There's your fact of the day from Doug.
Fact of the, Unix fact of the day from Doug. Ultra geek.
Straight from Washington, D.C.
Scott K. rings in yet another Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
This is indeed Ghostly Talk. Our website is www.ghostlytalk.com. And we're heard live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time
mm-hmm.
on the prestigious Pioneer Radio Network. That's pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O dot net.
The prestigious Pioneer.
The prestigious Pioneer.
The powerful.
Powerful, prestigious.
Powerhouse of the media. Pioneer Radio.
Pioneer Radio. We immediately precede W Paranormal, of course. So after
W Paranormal, of course.
Paranormal.
I feel like Daffy Duck. Suffering succotash.
And that was
despicable.
And that was Ghostly Talk. I hope you enjoyed.
Yeah, we lasted about 15 seconds without screwing everything up around here.
But yeah,
we should do our Daffy Duck Ghostly Talk for me. We should do everything in Daffy Duck voices.
We could try.
Hey, Doug, how you doing? Sorry, go ahead.
So while while we're live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., you can of course catch us in the chat rooms. You simply go to pioneer.rolo.net or www.ghostlytalk.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got an account with Ghostly Talk, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Sign into the chat rooms. At Pioneer, it's that little text chat link and the little control button unit down toward the bottom.
Yeah.
Corporate's out this week. Corporate was out last week, and I didn't take advantage of it. Didn't even know.
Mm.
But, yeah, corporate's out. Gone.
Yeah.
Disappeared. Completely.
We could have tried. We could have tried to pilot for that sex talk show we wanted to do.
Right, right. We could have been doing all kinds of cool stuff. We had absolutely no clue because they didn't send the memo to us. So, yeah. It's pretty cool.
Well, that's how they do it, you know. They don't let us know, so we can't prepare for it. We can't get ready to, like, you know, when the cat's away and the mice will play.
Right.
No, we didn't know he was leaving.
Right.
We found out during last week's show, as a matter of fact.
During the show, we found out that he was, like, MIA. So, yeah. So we have absolutely no clue where he is or, you know, what country he's in.
I think we should start betting pool on where he's at. I got my money.
Where in the world is Bobo from the UK?
I got my money. He is at the sleaziest joint on the planet right now. Still, he hasn't left. He left the Pioneer offices and went straight to, like, the sleaziest place on the planet. I didn't want to specify what sleazy it is, but I bet you it's just sleazy all around.
Yeah.
And he's been there ever since. He, like, saves up once a year for this. He brings about maybe, in England, let's say, I've been watching a lot of English.
Are they pounds or euros?
He brings about £500,000 with him, right?
Yeah.
And he just goes nuts for, like, 2 weeks. I got $10 on that. If anyone wants to take the action, I'm with you.
Good question. Oh, 10 U.S. American dollars.
10 U.S. American dollars on his 500,000 pounds.
Hey, I still say he's at a mathematics convention. I think there's some win
in a sleazy joint.
The plot
thickens now.
In Tijuana, they're having this huge mathematics convention where they're trying to prove yet another theorem.
Stanky. Anyway.
I don't know.
All right, so we have a very interesting show today.
Yes, we do.
We're going to have Diane Goodman Larson on. She's been on before. We've had it. She hasn't been on a long time. Yeah, twice before. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And she actually contacted us a while back. I want to know if we want to talk to her again.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Always looking forward to talking to Diane Goodman Larson.
She has a new book coming out.
Because she's the Atlantis. Lady.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She deals with all kinds of wild stuff.
Oh yeah.
And we're going to be talking mainly about cloud drawings today.
Okay.
Diane wants to talk about this, and she wants to talk about the ancients of Antilla.
That's
the focus of our discussion today.
Okay.
So we're going to be doing that about 7:30. Well, you weren't there. So Will's going to take the mic now.
Ah.
We did do some work last night. You were in drag last night over down in beautiful, sunny Royal Oak, Michigan at the Main Arts Theater.
Yes, I was.
You went and saw, what movie was that?
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
And the whole world goes, oh, right there.
I did the time warp again.
How'd you like it?
It was interesting. It was interesting.
You've been before, I know.
I've been to the Rocky Horror Picture Show before, yeah. With some friends of mine, like in Livonia or Dearborn or somewhere out yeah. west of mm-hmm. here, you know, a western suburb of Detroit. And I used to go a lot,
mm-hmm.
But then, of course, it sort of, you know, went away.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't had one for a long time, but they yeah. had a midnight showing last night,
yeah.
and I went to it at the main art theater in Royal Oak.
Mm-hmm.
It was part of Real Pride.
Real Pride.
Yeah.
Pride in what, Doug?
I found that out when I got there. Yes, it was the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival.
Sweet.
I had no idea until I got there.
Hey,
but
that's cool, man.
Oh,
I
mean, my God.
I bet you, I think, I haven't been to see a Rocky Horror Picture Show since high school.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about it yesterday here, and I was like, dude, they scared the hell out of me. But it was, I mean, all joking aside, it really was. I mean, these people really got into this, man. It was a lot of fun just to watch these people go off the way they did.
Well, when you call the theater ahead of time and ask them, you know, hey, can I bring rice and dry toast and blah blah blah? They're like, no, we ain't keeping anything.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get there, they hand you a bag, and in the bag is rice, dry toast, a blow tickler.
A what tickler?
A blow tickler. Those little party favors.
Oh, okay. All right, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He was blown earlier.
Yeah, I did. I had it out. And
I'm glad I came late then. Sorry.
And stuff like that. So they did indeed. And, oh, toilet paper, of course.
Yeah.
So they had all the stuff.
Well, geez, I wonder why they wouldn't want you to bring that, why they were so Nazi-esque on the phone towards you.
Well, I imagine what happened was...
Trash the place.
The people who were running the thing...
Uh-huh.
Probably heard that the theater was saying, no, you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
So they went and they, I guess, toasted up, you know, a couple of billion loaves of bread and, you know, and put together these kits.
Oh, man. Well, that sounds like a good time regardless. While you were there,
awesome.
While you were getting your groove on.
I would go. I hope they have it again next year because I'm going to go. But I'm going to be ready for it next year.
You're going to have your garter belt and everything ready to go?
Everything, yep. I will be all set. Gold lame, you know, a little
nice.
short.
Nice,
yeah,
nice.
Stuff like that. I'll say Rocky. Or is that what its name was?
Yeah, that's what his name
Frank is. Frankenfurter, so Rocky
yeah.
is who the...
Rocky, yeah.
Yeah, and the gold lame, yeah, mm-hmm, that's what I'll do.
I can't wait for this.
I'm not going.
It'll be Rocky. Rocky, 50 years
I'm not,
later.
I didn't say I was going with him. I just said we'll be fighting to see him before he goes. He's on his own after that. We're going to go do an investigation again or something. It's safe there at least,
so,
I think.
Yeah, while I was... Oh, and it was a party. I'm telling you, oh, everybody was clapping and standing up and just like going nuts over the movie.
Well, that's one of those.
Rocky Picture Show is one of my fundamental entertainment things. Like when I was growing up,
yeah.
it was just like just insanely popular, mm-hmm. and it was our phone booth in the desert. Because here we don't have a desert, we don't have phone booths in the middle of it,
mm-hmm.
and we don't have anything cool.
Yeah.
So all we had when I was growing up was the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
And that's it. I mean,
so that was our phone booth in the desert.
Erica L. is into it. She's totally into that too. I didn't even mention. I think no, we did mention it to her last night. She came along with us last night on our investigation.
Yeah, she doesn't. She didn't know about it.
Yeah, she was like so bummed because she loves that too. I don't know where she picked that one up from. It wasn't for me, but she has like 15 copies of the movie at home and all that fun stuff.
Well,
and whatnot.
I'm telling you, it was a blast. Everyone was well behaved except for when you're throwing rice at each other. Oh, when you look out, because you know there's that beam of light or whatever that actually illuminates the screen with the
yeah.
moving picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you look out over the crowd, normally you wouldn't be able to see the beam of light. You know, you could just barely make it out.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're throwing rice in the air,
mm-hmm.
it looked like waves of maybe bees or something.
Oh, that's,
you know,
cool.
Like in the light, because it just swarmed and moved on its own. There was that much rice.
Well, that helps the acid trip, you know. That makes it a little easier.
If
on
I
you.
Still drank, I'd have had a great time. Yeah, but I don't drink no more.
Well, myself and Will and Erica L. met up with some of Will's old school crew.
Yeah, Will and Jess and Brian and
yeah, we met up at this particular house we've been checking out. You went the first time we went there.
Yep, yeah.
And we went there again last night, and I ran I tried some more ITC stuff, ran an hour of audio.
Excellent.
Captured it on your laptop sitting right here. We haven't pulled it up yet.
Sometime this week, don't Don't make me do it tonight because I have to do the archive again tonight. But sometime this week, I'll pull that off the laptop and I'll put it up in that shared, you know, website thingy.
The ultra secret share knowledge, ghostly talk.
The knowledge.
The hive of knowledge of ghostly talk. So we ran that, checked out a few things. Nothing really crazy happened last night. More or less, I heard a few blips come through again. I was actually looking, I mean, visibly on the audio, but I'm really kind of nervous about trying to, like, you know, really analyze that and whatnot, because I think it might just be a radio frequency. This might be a radio signal popping. I found the first time I went there, and we talked about this on the show, that the popping, there would be a popping sound would come through, and it would startle you a little bit. But then I found it was just the furnace going off. The furnace would come on, and it would go off, and it would pop every time. So I think it might have been the furnace. It could have been any type of, you know, plane flying over. It could have been anything. A few things did sneak through. I heard something peculiar, actually, when I was up in the attic with you, or upstairs with you, when you were shooting pictures up there. And I just heard it. I haven't had time to review it yet, obviously. But other than that, nothing really too insane happened.
That upstairs being in the dark by yourself really messes with you.
Why?
Well, I walked up there, and I was standing by those rope things that were hanging down.
Yeah.
And I was shooting the window that the curtains part, and I was just standing there, and it was just, I almost was frozen.
Well, we can hear you in the headphones, so when you talk, you might want to talk into your microphones.
Hey, don't look at me.
Yeah, you don't have to look at him in order to.
I don't
want to
look at you.
This is radio, and we all have headphones on.
You like looking at the back of my head, don't you?
Bald spot. Not yet.
Yeah, I know a few people got the heebie-jeebies. Well, the one peculiar thing that happened, I don't know how the whole logistics of it worked, but it was concerning Brian's shoes. And
yeah, that was weird.
That was really weird, because Brian, on our way to the house, of course I was running late, so Will's yelling at me to get out of the house. We got in the truck, and we're heading over there. And he was on the phone with Brian, blah, 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 back and forth. He got the phone. I'm like, well, what's going on? He's like, well, Brian lost his shoes. And Brian, he's got their special shoes because he has those inserts because he's got problems with his feet. So he has to have these shoes. He can't walk around without these shoes or his feet will really hurt bad, right? They're orthopedic type inserts.
Right.
They're not like old people's shoes, like those big clod things that you walk around.
And he lost his shoes.
He lost his shoes. Yeah, that's what I said.
And this is paranormal?
Well, wait.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm like, you know, how the hell can we lose our shoes, first of all? You know, so I kind of had fun with that. Now, Will, you might be able to help me with this. We got there.
Right.
We got there, and Brian was he wearing another pair of shoes?
He was wearing another pair of shoes that didn't have the inserts.
Okay, he was kind of limping around, too. Yeah. And his cousin. That's Will.
No, Will works for him.
Will works for him, okay. I'm trying to get this all together. Will came out with the shoes.
Jess did, okay.
Jess came out with the shoes and said, hey, were you looking for these? And Brian was like, huh, what are they doing here? And he's swearing up and down that these shoes were at his house, if I'm correct.
Right, right, he never brought them over.
And I'm listening to the person, but I think he might have forgot them, maybe, do you think?
He might have, but I think he would have said, oh, that's where I put them.
Well, they were his special favorite orthopedic shoes, though. It seems like less likely for somebody to forget those. It's just a question of, you know, logic there, more or less. You know, but he was white as a ghost, though. Like, I don't know how these things got here, honestly. So we're like, well, okay. I mean,
so what we're thinking here is the shoes apported.
Well, that's the theory. That's the theory, I guess.
It's a haunted house.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's really all I can deduct from it, is that they're, that or they were moved.
Remember the peanut story?
No, the peanut story. They were cleaning the utility room out.
His mom and his aunt were cleaning it out, and on the ledge, or no, on the wall, by the ledge, there was a peanut stuck to the wall where they had already cleaned.
Yeah, they wiped everything down real good, and then they looked over, and there was this peanut, I mean, in the shell. Not just a peanut.
Stuck to the wall.
And then when he went through sweeping the sweeping out the garage where he had already swept, he found another peanut.
So I don't know if there's something going on with nuts.
Maybe they have a squirrel problem.
There could be.
Or an elephant problem.
That's what we said last night. It's like, well, maybe you have an elephant here, Brian.
His cousin Jesse said that.
An infestation of elephants.
That's what that's actual audio of the elephant running around the house. It's a baby elephant because the big one wouldn't fit through the door.
Right.
So, I mean, they're all kind of weird. Brian's swearing up and down. I mean, and he's told the story after story of just weird things that have happened around this house.
I've known Brian for years. I've never known him to embellish anything, ever. Mm-hmm.
He's usually a pretty level-headed guy. He's a nice
dude. Very level-headed. Very nice guy. Yeah. Real good for himself.
Very straight guy. But, you know, we ran audio last night. We shot photos. Nothing really stuck out. I mean,
just a couple of orbs that shouldn't have been there.
You said there was one standing, one next to me when you shot a picture. I was up there with you. You said it saw one next to me.
Well, I shot like 25 pictures in a row of that window.
Yeah.
And, like halfway through the pictures I was taking, there was also just this bright orb, and then it was gone.
So I started swinging around trying to punch it. Like, come on, take another picture. I'm going to see if I knocked it out or not. Unfortunately, nothing came up in the next shot, though. You shot another picture a couple seconds later, and nothing happened.
Well, his cousin's friend took a picture in that attic.
Yeah, a real bright one. Well, no, that was a transparent one. That was really transparent, I guess. And the one you shot was real bright.
Right.
So there was a couple of things that kind of came up, you know, little things here and there. Nothing really, you know, there was nothing jumping out of the wall at us, though, except for Brian.
We had
a couple people. One of the big no-nos in ghost hunting, but these guys aren't ghost hunters, so it's not a big deal, you know. Plus, it's Brian's grandpa's house, so he can do whatever he wants.
I hear some guy screaming like a girl.
He did too. Oh, this poor guy.
It was bad.
Well, the guy was. I mean, he was a hidden target already because as we were walking in, we were talking like out in front of the place, and he's like, "Man, we were talking about this, you know, this and that, and you know, just ideas and theories and whatnot." And the guy's like, "Man, I don't want to hear any more, man. You guys are turning crap on me." Like,
so instantly you're like,
"Well, not me. I'm not like that." But Brian, I was setting up all the, you know, setting the laptop and all the radio and stuff up in the living room. And Brian's like, "Yeah, hang out for a few minutes before you start rolling that, man. I'm going to take care of something here." I'm like, "What do you mean, man?" And he's like, just wait. And Jess set him up. Jess walked him. "Yeah, come on back here to the bedroom. We'll show you the bedroom. Check it out." And I'm just like, "Oh, God, this is going to be ugly." And you just, you hear him, which is a huge no-no on any investigation.
Do not do that.
But situations, you kind of got to play. You got to kind of play them how they come sometimes. And you know, Brian's nice enough to let us use his house, so he had to have his fun. It was kind of fun, too. I mean, you got to have some fun, I guess. If it was like something that we were doing, though, just as a group, you know, I don't think that wouldn't have slid with anybody.
It wouldn't have happened.
It wouldn't have happened, yeah. Brian does want us to come back one more time, though, before this house does go on the market. That's all I'm going to say about it. And it's just a couple of us. Because that was the big problem we had last night, I think, is there was just too many people walking around there. And you couldn't concentrate and try to focus on anything whatsoever because there was just people bouncing left and right.
Right.
Especially once Jesse and his friends showed up.
Mm.
I mean, they're great guys. Don't get me wrong, but it just added too many people.
Yeah, it wasn't anything wrong with anybody. There was just too many bodies in one little house, and I think that might have contaminated a bit of evidence that we did capture as far as audio and video or audio and pictures go. So it was still great to go out and do some work anyways and try to get some more experience with this whole ITC thing we're working on also, which is, by the way, I'm sure the majority of you guys know out there, if you have come to the website anytime this week, we do have SpiritCom up on the site now, too.
Yes, we do. The SpiritCom
really excited about that.
The SpiritCom tape by George Meek.
George Meek's the one who did it all.
Yep.
Mark Macy and Ralph Einhart are the ones who had the trademarks for it. So
okay. That's
why we had to wait. I wanted to make sure
permission. Those
guys were very cool about that, and really all they said was, that's fine. Just make sure you credit it to the correct people who wrote it and who owns it. So, as you can see on the site, we did put it up in the archives page, too, so now it's up there permanently.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the homepage right now, which it'll probably come down in a week or so, just kind of how we just weed stuff out left and right. But that is going to be up there permanently for you to download at your leisure. Anybody can download it.
So far, I've heard nothing but people saying,
"I can't believe
that. What the heck is that?"
Yeah, I can't. I put this up all over the place just for my friends to check out.
Yeah.
Anybody, because it's such a great piece of medium because it's very instructional, first of all. And second of all, it's for the layman to sit down and just listen to this stuff. It's a lot to put your arms around,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's a good introduction to really get your feet wet.
It's valuable information. Talking about valuable information.
Yeah.
One of the things that totally changed my way of thinking, just a lot of stuff last year at about this time.
Yeah.
Was Bill Nell.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know if you've been to his website.
Oh, God, yeah. You know what? I totally forgot to talk to you guys about that.
But
I totally forgot to talk to you guys about that.
Yeah, his website says something like, you know, I'm no longer doing this stuff.
Yeah. Bill Nell's retired from the alien business.
So CJB.net. Now it's
still,
just an open letter to everybody saying, you know, I'm done with this.
Yeah, he's kind of retired. He's doing other stuff. He's still doing consulting work and stuff like that. Not around alien stuff, just... He's into all kinds of stuff, you know.
Right, right.
Consultation type thingies, and if you go to his new site, it's more or less just, you know, hi, I'm Bill. I'm a Sagittarius. I like long walks on the beach, you know, or whatever.
on the Montauk Beach, but
yeah.
But what happens is the videos that he owns the copyright to,
yeah,
are invaluable information.
Yes.
And I just hope that people went and bought them when I was mentioning it on previous shows,
mm-hmm.
because now they're just simply unavailable.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. I mean, his site's totally down. So I got to thinking about that. I think we discussed that a couple weeks ago. Like, hey, you know, has anybody heard from Bill? Because we've sent emails to the guy and we haven't heard anything back. And
right.
Like, what are we getting the disc from this guy for? What's going on? We do it around to him. So I thought I just decided to start digging a little bit and see if I could find something. All I do is just click a link, obviously. Clicked on the link, and there we go. And there's that. I've read the whole letter on his homepage now. It says, I'm done with this. I'm tired of this. People have... I mean, he has...
The guy absolutely fascinates me.
Yeah, he has legitimate arguments against, you know, why he quit doing this. And all we can really do here at Ghostly Talk is respect that. I mean, some people just don't want to do it for their entire life,
mm-hmm.
And some people just get tired of the ridicule. And
but the information, all I can say is, if you don't have his videos, you're not going to get them now.
Yeah, they're hard. I don't know how you can get them
unless
it's about eBay or something. I don't know.
Or releases them to the public.
Yeah,
because if he releases them to the public, you know, then you know, we've got copies and we can release them, but we can't.
No, we can't do that.
Because until we get permission, and he's, you know, incommunicado.
I don't think he wants to even discuss it right now.
Right.
Which is cool. Hey, that's fine. I mean, that's not a big deal. Somebody might contact him now. Hey, those guys were talking about you the other night.
Yeah.
they were talking smack about you. They're calling you out, man. You better get on that show real soon, you know. So maybe this is what we needed to do.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Sounds like he's retired.
I love the man. I think he's a brilliant man. I think the work he's done is invaluable.
3 hours on that show.
Yeah. It's invaluable work he did. I mean, just the information, it's just another one of those things. Once you hear it, it's like, huh? It's overwhelming. How do you get your arms around this?
When you see those videos,
yeah.
which are now, you cannot get them anymore. Everybody lost their opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Changes your whole outlook on everything.
A lot of things.
Especially the
section, in my opinion, on Phil Schneider, which we've talked about Phil Schneider on this show before, that
yep.
gentleman. Just some of the things he came out with and talked about. And, God, just come on.
I don't
on,
know. He was fascinating, of course, but... To me, what's indelibly marked in my mind is the roundtable discussion they had in that living room.
Oh yeah, that's like 3 hours of solid, like, you know.
Right.
I mean, we keep saying over and over again. I mean, I tried to let my mom watch it. I tried to let my dad watch it too, and they're just like, right. And I'm like, you know, they just fell asleep. They couldn't handle it. Because they just couldn't grasp it. I don't think they're older, and I don't think they can grasp the concepts these guys were discussing. Which is ironic, because a lot of this stuff was done back in a time when they were our age.
Right.
Well, a lot younger, actually. And it just never came out. Now this stuff seems to be coming out more, and it's typical, usually. Even the stuff with Phil Schneider, too. These things come out. Phil Schneider, of course, was... They downed it as a suicide.
Suicide, yeah.
He choked himself. He strangled himself to death with a piece of rubber tubing.
Yeah.
You know, and so that right there lends... I mean, I'm not going to say, it's for real, this is all for real, they're lying to you, you know, go out and revolt. But something like that happens, it's like, you know, and that's just, it's an interesting concept, too, because I remember I was listening to Alex Jones speak. I'll just say this real quick. Because we've talked about a lot of things on this show that, you know, I don't think people want to talk about. And we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop either. If anything happens, we're going to be talking about more things. Mm-hmm. More things that might even be more taboo to talk about on internet radio, at least, as opposed to terrestrial radio.
Well, I don't
radio.
Think there's anything you can't talk about on internet radio.
Well, yeah, but still just the idea of talking about...
On terrestrial radio, of mm-hmm. course, you've got issues.
Well, that's the beauty of what we're doing here.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I was listening to an interview with Alex Jones, which he was on Coast to Coast Saturday night.
Oh,
Friday
awesome.
Night. Talking about it, and I love the man. He's just great. He's just got, he makes great, and George Norrie said it, he did say it, he's like, and he made a great point, he's like, I don't agree with everything he says here, but his goal and focus is the same thing as Ghostly Talk. You may not agree.
That's what George Norrie
says? Oh, well, no, yeah, it was. You may not agree with everything we say here, you may not agree with everything Alex Jones says, but gosh darn, don't it make you think? Just think about it. That's all we're really asking people to do. We're not asking you to convert over to whatever. Just think about it. And that's what Alex Jones does, too. His big thing he said in an interview was, you know, this was actually with George Norrie. George Norrie's like, you know, you're doing all this insane stuff. You're stepping on all these toes, ruffling all these feathers. I can't believe you're still alive. And he's like, why do you think you're still alive? And Alex Jones is like, because I went public. I went public. I'm very public. And you know Alex Jones, his face is always in front of the camera.
Oh, yeah.
He's always on some microphone. He's got his own syndicated radio
there,
show.
If there's none there for him, he brings cameras.
Yeah, he makes it. He makes it. He becomes the media.
Absolutely sure.
Jello Biafra said it best. If you can't, you know, if you can't control the media, become the media.
Yeah.
And that's what Alex Jones has done. And I think that's the reason that he's still, with the amount of stuff that he's put out, the things he's done, he's still alive today. It's because he's very public. And if he was to get, you know, accidentally have a car accident or fall off something or strangle himself, there'd be with the amount of people that are fans of Alex Jones or listeners of Alex Jones, read his material, you would have a major problem on your hands. You'd have a lot of people asking a lot of questions then. And I think that's the reason that it's kind of complicated, you know, but it makes a lot of sense to me. That's the reason, because I follow the guy pretty closely, and some of the things he comes out with are just like, oh, God, he's done. Forget it. nice listening to you. He's still kicking. So, I mean, all kudos to that guy, too. So
that previous segment brought to you by InfoWars.com.
That didn't mean to, like, pimp Alex Jones, you know. Well, he's a great guy. I like his work, you know. Please return my emails.
Yeah, he won't return our emails.
Well, anyway. No, last time I sent him an email, their box was full. Like, sorry, we got too much email. I'm like, well, I can believe that.
Yeah, well, that is...
I think, like, a week after he's been on Coast to Coast, to email him, which is just that's a death wish on an email server right there, apparently. If you don't... Yeah, some people, we talk to people from other shows, they're like, well, you know, they were on Coast to Coast. Okay, yeah, try getting a hold of them.
Right.
You give it a shot and see how far you get. You better wait about a month.
Right.
And then try contact. I mean, maybe they'll contact you back, you know. So, yeah, that's basically kind of what's been going on around here. I'm dying. I'm falling apart. I have to leave again early today.
Ah, good. Yeah, okay. No. I mean, no, that's fine.
I got to shoot out early today.
Work. Get all the work in you can.
Okay, Mr. Working Man.
Yeah, I know. Look at me. Yeah.
Prince of Persia here. Prince of Persia with 18 people surrounding him yesterday. Hey, Doug, remember that $20 you owe me? Yeah. Why don't we take a quick break here?
Sounds good.
Get Diane on the phone.
We'll get Diane M. Diane M. Goodman Larson on the phone.
That's the longest name I've ever heard. I'm going to ask her that tonight, too.
Why?
Diane, why is your name so long?
You keep... adding names?
Well, there's no hyphen there, I'm not going to judge.
Was the M in there last time we talked about
it? Not that I remember. No, I think she added that or something.
Yeah.
What's the M stand for? Martian.
Probably.
Martian. All right, let's take a break here. All right. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Sounds good to me.
Ancients of Antilla. All that good stuff. We'll be right back.
my name's Sean Burke, Indiana Ghost Trackers, www.indianaghost.org, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
This is W Paranormal Talk Radio, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Pioneer Radio Network. For show information, visit WParanormal.com. What do you want? Why don't you leave me alone?
Sam Carey at www.missourighost.net. You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Hey guys, what's up? Good time.
Yeah, I remember her saying, I'm already dead. 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 I'm already dead.
I'm already dead. I'm already dead. I'm already dead. I'm already dead. I'm already dead.
I'm already dead.
You're going to get up and scream. Get up and burn an X in your head.
I got to say something before we go on.
Well,
I was listening.
We're on.
I was listening to the radio today.
Yeah.
I was listening. I've been on this James Brown kick.
Okay.
Killing me, dude.
Yeah.
Non-stop James Brown all the time. It's the James Brown station in my car, right?
Okay.
I heard one of the coolest lines I ever heard a man ever say in
okay.
my life. And it's awesome. He's the song called The Payback, right? And he's, you know, James Brown. it's insane.
Help me up.
He's talking about, like, the payback. It's about revenge, getting back at somebody from taking his girl and taking his money, right? And he says this line. It just kind of just stuck in my head like a pin, man.
I don't know karate, but I know crazy.
Oh, and
it's
that's
awesome.
What
I had,
this whole workup has been for.
Okay. I had to throw it out.
Thank you very much.
It was pointless. It was stupid.
Thank you very much.
I don't know karate, but I know crazy.
And that'll be our new tagline. Okay?
Right.
We don't know karate, but we know
karate. I'm sorry, Doug. You take over.
With that,
yeah.
This is indeed Ghostly Talk. We're back. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
Thank you, Will. And, of course, when we are live from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and we do guest segments from 7:30 till 9. And so, of course, this week is no different. We've got the exciting and enchanting Diane M. Goodman-Larson on again. Third time for Ghostly Talk.
Yeah.
Third time to have Diane on. And
she's an alumni. And she was one of our first guests, too.
Oh, yeah.
One of our first guests. She's... Yeah, she's
and she fascinated us before with Atlantis.
Yeah.
And the scientist priest of Atlantis and
all that discussion.
Right, and of Mars and Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And of course since then we did talk, you know, with more folks about Atlantis. Mm-hmm. This time though we're gonna talk about the ancients
of Antillia. I pronounced it wrong in the last segment.
Yeah, so that'll be absolutely fascinating. While we're on the show, though, before we bring Diane on, while we're on live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., we are in the chat rooms. Go to pioneer.rollo.net or our own site, www.ghostlytalk.com, and there's ways to get into the text chat link,
because
we're in the text chat links and we're in the chat rooms.
Yeah.
Join in. There's a lot of cool people in there already, and join in and chat about the show while we're doing the show.
Yeah, if you have any questions, too, feel free to ask them.
Yep.
We'll relay them over to us.
We'll relay questions.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Definitely.
So without further ado, Scott, introduce Diane for us.
Why did you do that to me? Diane M. Goodman-Larson has been on our show previously, obviously, and we've had her on talking about Atlantis, like you said, Doug. Today, though, we want to focus, we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff, I have a feeling, but today we're going to focus on ancient Semantilia. And Diane, you're on the line, right?
I'm here. How are you?
How are you doing?
Thanks for having me back.
It's great to have you back.
Welcome back, Diane.
Now, I've done a little scanning over the material, just a little bit, but for the people that are out there listening, I'm sure ancient Semantilia is a term they've never heard before, or if not, they've heard it very, very seldom, like in their lifetimes. Can we get like a high level of, you know, what the ancients of Antillia are?
The ancients are the great teachers, the great teachers of humanity. They're the senior brothers, they call themselves, masters of light, They're members of the Great White Brotherhood. They're the members of the Order of Melchizedek, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they come and go in virtually all of the civilizations that we've ever had here. Lemuria, Mu, Atlantis, and even in our present civilization, we have ancients who are returning as teachers to help us through the movement from the lower dimensions, like the third dimensional level, up through the fourth, fifth, sixth, all the way up through to seventh and beyond that. So they're like our elder brothers is what they're known as. And so with regard to Antilia, I was saying a prayer one night. It's called the Aztec prayer, and I just sort of got down to the very last line of the prayer, and it goes like this: Mother of gods, father of gods, ancient god, a mere appendage of the realm, a common man has come. He comes carrying, he comes in sadness. He comes crying, he comes in sadness, he comes with guilt. Perhaps he has slipped, perhaps he has stumbled, perhaps he has touched the bird of evil, the spider's web, the tuft of horns. It wounds his heart, it troubles him. Master, Lord, ever present, ever near, take it from him. Hear the pain of this common man. And it's called the Aztec Prayer.
That's really beautiful.
And, it was just something I was doing before I went to sleep that night after meditating.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, as soon as I was done, in just a few seconds, I felt this pulling. It's a sort of pulling and tugging on my aura, on my physical body, and I just vanished out of my bedroom. So I did, literally, just disappeared. So I've been on these time shift events and time travel events in the past.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
Usually I did that when I did the Merkaba meditation on my own. It's something I usually initiated, or the same brothers of light, or the same ancients who are my teachers will come and take me with them various places around the planet and other dimensions. People call them dimensional crossers. At any rate, I just disappeared out of my bedroom this particular time, and I felt my molecules just streaming and my atoms are streaming and everything is streaming through space and dark space, and I just landed right on a mountaintop, someplace I had no idea where I was. So that was the beginning of it. It was really shocking, very startling to feel my molecules streaming at I must have been the speed of light, I don't know. But I landed on a mountaintop somewhere on the planet, and I didn't know what time, what space, whether it was past, whether it was future. My tendency with my teachers is to go to the future, and I had one or two trips to the past. This particular time, I didn't know. I just looked around, and I saw a lot of water around me. And I looked to my right, and I saw a man sitting on the mountaintop. And he was about, about 8 inches or so away from my nose. And I didn't say anything, and he didn't say anything for a while. And down below us from the mountaintop where I was, which I believe I was someplace in Central America, and I saw that they were wearing sort of a mustard green or sort of goldish yellow green robe they had on. They were about 3 feet down below me in a rowboat with oars in it, and out ahead of that was like an expanse of water where there were no waves, no huge waves were rolling in or anything. It was just very small waves that were coming in. And behind me, directly behind me from this peak, was also water. So based on what I saw, I figured it was Central America. I just didn't know what time period it was.
Okay.
So eventually, the man I was sitting next to, he just looked up at me and he said, do you know what this is? And I said, no, I'm not sure. It looks like the Antilles, is what I said. The Antilles, the Lesser Antilles, the Greater Antilles. And then he said again, what are you recognizing here? What are the islands called? So So I remained there very quietly. I realized that this was just another one of those little tests, you know, that you get from time to time, and you probably will come up with a dumb answer, because I really wasn't sure what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And we just sat down there for a long time, staring at the water and not saying anything at all. And then suddenly he said to me, people are not recognizing what this is here. It's not registering in anyone's consciousness that this is the Antilles. This is Antilia. And he said it about three times. He said, this is Antilia. These are the islands of Antilia. And then he said, Atlantis is Antilia. So, you know, it was a huge sort of revelation for me. And I just sat there not really knowing what to say to him. And then suddenly he looked at me, he said, it's time to go. I felt this disturbance in my world where I had just left. What I found out in the process of, you know, looking around at the place where I was that I was in the Aztec civilization. So that would have been about 500 years into the past, approximately.
Mm-hmm.
That was where I landed. That was where I left when I disappeared out of my bedroom. So it was pretty shocking to realize that. And I just ended up there with these people on a mountaintop, sitting next to this teacher, is obviously who he was, one of the ancients, and one of the leaders, one of the spiritual leaders of that civilization. And down below me there were the oars and boatmen, and just this water that expanded out that looked like what I call a looking glass. It just seemed very reflective. But when we were sitting there not saying anything, we were actually watching the sun come up. So it was kind of like dawn, just before dawn. It was quite dark, but just before dawn where I was with them 500 years into the past. So I felt a disturbance in my world. I'm still connected to my room and my house here where you and I live in, you know, in this present situation, civilization, and he said to me, it's time to go to Harmon. So I didn't know what he meant. It just didn't make any sense, and he just made me disappear. So I'm streaming back through time, through space, just coming at a tremendous speed back to my bedroom. When I landed on my feet in my bedroom, and my husband was coming through the door. And I looked back behind me. I could see streams of light, streams of molecule just at warp speed coming in. So I was very off balance. I was teetering back and forth. And he was just walking into the bedroom to say, you know, I'm leaving for work. It's time for me to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And he put his arms around me to give me a hug. And I was really kind of concerned that there wasn't much of me there to to hug. You know, there was half of me was literally missing and still coming into the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I got back. So it was pretty scary. It was pretty shocking. And I'm standing there feeling the rest of my body, energy fields, light fields, just connecting back in slowly.
How long did that experience in our time
quantum time
last? Like,
yeah.
Did it last? Were you, like, I imagine the time is a bit different, or could be a bit different, but, like, had your husband walked in, like, 5 minutes earlier, or 10, or a half hour? You know, like, about how long were you gone from our present situation?
Okay, so I was gone, I would say, probably half an hour. That's what I was thinking. Maybe 15 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes. But it seemed a lot longer than that, only because, like I said, I was sitting with them watching the sun come up where they were, 500 years into the past, approximately. The sun was just beginning to come up. It was dawn. The skies were still dark. And you know, watching the sun move, it was moving very slowly. So my guess was that the experience lasted about 15 minutes or so, just sitting there with them looking around. We were literally on a very narrow strip of land and on a high mountain peak. And when I got back when I landed back in my bedroom, the sun was already up. So it looked like about 9 o'clock in the morning. So the sun was shining bright here where I was. It looked like about 9 o'clock or so, and where I had just left, the skies were dark. Dark, just like dawn, barely seeing the sunlight breaking through.
I love time shifting.
So in just a matter of 2-3 seconds, I went from one time, one space-time to another, and from one sunrise to sort of another sort of daylight environment.
Interesting.
So it was pretty cool. It was pretty exciting, you know, but it was scary at the same time.
Absolutely. I mean, we have been doing some meditation sessions, the Ghostly Talk group here,
yeah.
just on Sundays, just trying to just straighten ourselves up, so to say, trying to just relax ourselves some more, just all that, you know, everything that's involved with that. And that experience alone, I'm speaking for myself, so we just did it today, it's a bit, how would you say, foreign, because I've never really got that deep down before. And I can imagine something like literally physically leaving where you're at.
You just vanish. Yeah, I just vanished out of the room. But the thing is that having said the prayer, I believe somehow that I connected with them on a certain wavelength, and they pulled me from my bedroom. That's what I experienced. I felt them pulling me. So it wasn't as though I sat down to meditate and focus with a particular destination to go to like I used to do in the past pretty often.
Yeah.
They heard my prayer somehow. We were on a similar wavelength, and because it was connected with the Aztec civilization, the Aztec prayer, which I hadn't said before, somehow they managed to connect with me, and they pulled me right out of our present time space into theirs, into the past. Well, I call it the past. Evidently, they still exist, but I say the past because we know in our history books and mythology and all that sort of thing that the Aztec civilization existed several hundred years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, I believe that they're still around, evidently. They're still alive. I believe they're simply in a much higher dimension than we are at this point in time.
Go ahead, Doug.
I was going to say, was it a great revelation or learning process for you?
Yeah, it was a huge revelation because most of us, we just think of Atlantis as having sank down below the the ocean in the Atlantic Ocean, and I think he wanted everyone to know that there was a much bigger continent, a much bigger aspect to just the continent of Atlantis, that particularly connected with the Aztec civilization and with the area of Mexico, the Gulf of Mexico, Costa Rica, Colombia, Peru, Brazil, the islands that are called the Greater Antilles, like Cuba, Jamaica, those bigger islands, and the Lesser Antilles, you have Puerto Rico, Barbados, Martinique, Guadeloupe. All those little islands that we go to on vacation as tourists and so on are all remnants of what is called Antillia. It's a huge continent that is also one and the same with Atlantis. And it actually looks like the map that I created, it actually, based on the experience I had, it actually looks like what you would call the womb of creation. It has this very feminine aspect to it that is like the womb of creation, which you've heard many people may have mentioned before. But the continent itself expanded all the way, encompassing these Lesser Antilles, Trinidad and Tobago, Guyana, Georgetown, Brazil, ancient Brazil, parts of South America, and extended all the way up to around the Bermuda Triangle area, around to the Azores, all the way over to almost touching the Western Sahara Desert over there in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We may be familiar with some people who say that there was a time when you could actually walk, from Atlantis over to Africa. So it spans that wide, that ancient continent, and it comes all the way down to the Cape Verde Islands and connects to Brazil. And then on the other side, in the Pacific Ocean now, not the Atlantic Ocean anymore, it expands all the way over to close to encompassing Hawaii and the Hawaiian Islands over there, and Peru on that side, and
that's huge.
El Salvador and Costa Rica, Guatemala, all the way up to Mexico, and pretty close to California. Up that it lines up that way. So it was really a huge continent,
mm-hmm.
And he wanted everyone to know it's not just Atlantis, but it's the it's Antillia, and the thing that connects these two. These two civilizations, the Aztec civilization, our civilization, what connects Central America primarily to those Caribbean islands on the other side, is the fact that there was once a group of teachers. They're really super, super master teachers called the Chimeras. They came from Venus. And there was a time when our planet was in such bad state in terms of love and spirituality and things like that and goodness that I think the planet was ordered to be, someone ordered that the planet be destroyed. I just totally ignored. This was many millions of years ago. And one great man stepped forward and he said, if I can find just one flame, one threefold flame of love and light burning in the heart of just one person on planet Earth, will you save the planet? And the person, I guess it was the meeting of the gods, and they all agreed that if they could just find one human being that had love and a flame, there's literally a flame that burns in the heart of every human being, if he could still find one that was burning, that they would save the planet. And he volunteered and he left and came all by himself from Venus, from that planet, and came here, one of the Chimeras, and searched for a very long time until he found someone. I'm not sure who that someone is, but he did find what he was looking for and was able to save our planet. And following that, they were able to introduce light and love and teachings, back into our world called Earth, and bring us up as younger brothers of humanity all over that period of time until now. And many of them are coming back. And so what we are connected, the Aztec civilization, Antillia, Atlantis, and the United States that's a part of Atlantis also, we are connected by the planet Venus and the Chimeras, these very loving beings that came from there.
They were loving beings? I mean, they were MDT.
Have to be to have gone through all of that to save us. Evidently,
yeah.
We were in a bit of trouble with morals and spirituality and, I guess, especially love. So it was actually a point where we were in a lot of danger here on the planet, actually in danger of being destroyed because, they sort of scanned everything and found that we weren't very... very nice people at some point, or very evolved, just too much into the density and the third density and whatnot. So we were actually saved. That particular time was a major time in our ancient history. We're way beyond that now. I just needed to make the connection between Central America, Mexico, and the Lesser and Greater Antilles is connected by Venus.
Well, every time I think that we might be slipping back that way, something happens. Like, recently was the earthquake.
We always get rescued.
And then, that earthquake happens, and then all these voices rise up out of the, out of the crowd, and people are doing whatever they can to help folks, in this case, in Southeast Asia, people we've never met
the
before.
The cataclysm that we had there.
Yeah, and so every time I think, oh man, this whole world's gone, we're hopeless. Something will happen, and then I'll see the goodness in people again. So
there've been a lot of cataclysms in our history, and there was one in particular that came with regard to a warning by Plato, I believe. He did. He was given some sort of a warning once, and by the god Zeus I think it's called the Critias and Timaeus work that he did. He was talking about a warning that was given, and one of the strange things that happened is he really didn't manage to write down the warning. His work just sort of stopped abruptly, I was recently given a warning, and I'll read it to you. It's called, it's a quote from Door to Atlantis, my first book. It says, if a civilization of people were told it is time to get something up into the sky, and the gods decided that it would set them back significantly to do that, would it be worth it still to try? A civilization that was in danger of a cataclysm, but one of some magnitude. And so that warning was given to me back in the year 2000, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because I think they're expecting some sort of a huge cataclysm that would come. It would be so extreme that they're thinking to themselves it might not be worth it to try to save us, these gods, who usually have meetings and so on. So there are a couple of cataclysms that we've had that have been pretty extreme. For instance, there was one that states in the prophecy books, on the seacoast, terrific tidal waves rolled in higher than the highest hills. They crashed onto the beaches, and the immense force and momentum of a colossal league rollers coming on behind drove them far inland, overwhelming cities, drowning whole countrysides, swirling up the sides of high mountains, driving the current of rivers backwards towards their sources. And even as the earth was being impelled backward into space, man called on the gods to save him. The gods were silent and powerless on high Atlantis, Olympus, looking down on the reeling globe, which would be our planet. On seaward borne, on the turgid and ever-rising waters of the obliterated rivers, floated thousands of bodies in the swirling, surging waters. And there were people clutching babies and clasping arms around drowned lovers and husbands and so on. These are things that are described in some of the ancient history books. So that's just one of them. There's another one that says, there came a rain of fire following the sun of rain. All that existed burned. Then there was a rain of rocks and sandstone. The sky drew near the waters and the earth. The planet Venus had changed her course. There was darkness over the whole face of the earth. Men flew to caves and rocks, and rocks fell on them and shut them out forever. They climbed trees, and the trees bent and shook them back and forth. The sun went out, and for five whole days, no light pierced the black darkness. So, I mean, that sounds very similar to what we just had recently in Southwest Asia with their, you know, their tidal waves and so on.
Oh, yeah.
We've been having cataclysms. Yeah, we've been having cataclysms back and forth for a while. And I think usually when some of these people who are coming to raise us up and to save us, more or less, you know, one of the Khmers recently said, I have come to save you. Sometimes it comes with a little bit of cleansing, the earth changes that you've heard so much about over the years. And so I think we're seeing a lot of that occurring. Recently in the news, I saw that one of the glaciers, a huge part of one of the glaciers, had just sort of broken off, and they're melting pretty quickly too. And so there's a lot of that that's beginning to happen pretty intensely as time goes forward.
Yeah, recently they had said that the one glacier was going to collide with a different glacier, and they had no clue what would happen, but evidently it ran aground instead. So it could have been unpredictable what would have happened, but instead it ran aground and halted its advance toward the other glacier. And these glaciers, by the way, are, you know, like, continental.
They're pretty big, yeah. They're not like, you know.
So there's a lot of force, a lot of momentum going. You know, it wouldn't have been easily predicted what would have happened.
And
so,
well,
yeah,
you're talking more
stuff going on.
And are you referring to this more of a? You said it's more of a cleansing process for. I mean,
well,
for,
yeah,
for the glaciers, for example.
Are shifting from one semitone of the dimension to another,
mm-hmm.
moving up, like say from fourth to fifth. There's always a breaking down process that occurs. And for instance, there have been times when we were moved where you have, there's another quote I have here, the bright sunny day turned suddenly to night, and the night became bright with tremendous strikes of lightning, terrifying thunder and earthquakes split apart the ground below. From the skies came a continuous streak of meteorites which slammed everywhere into the earth. People ran aimlessly and mindlessly to the hills and to the mountains and were on their knees trembling with fear. The planets and the constellations in the skies seemed to change position on several occasions as the earth teetered and tottered and danced uncontrollably out of its orbital position in relation to the sun, and was said to be falling into the sea, falling backwards. It was called the Night of Terrors by the priest who recounted the story. So every time that we're being moved in a big way, sometimes there's some dissolution of the old dimension where we were living, where things were a little denser, and so there needs to be a slightly sort of a small cleanup process that occurs, sometimes a big one. I remember when I was about 15 years old, I kept having this recurring dream. It was about a cataclysm, a tidal wave. I've been seeing it periodically since I was 15 in this lifetime. And I used to go on, it would seem like I was going on these time travel trips right to the event as it was occurring. In that tidal wave, that segment, I call it the mother of all tidal waves, and it's like nothing you've ever, you can ever begin to imagine. In connection with flooding, I keep seeing this scene in the space-time, and I don't really know how to go about describing it except to say it's a monumental scene. And I've seen it about three times now, where it is night outside wherever I am. I look in the distance many miles away, and I see the darkness of night coming at me. It was a whole wall of midnight blue, a wall of midnight blue water, the same color of the night, and the top of the wall seems to end where the planes fly. And so I call it simply the mother of all tidal waves, the Mount Everest of all tidal waves. And it's really, truly like none that you've ever imagined. And it just keeps on coming and coming and rolling on toward the land where I'm standing. And based on what I can remember, I was standing on a beach. But it is so high, this wall of water, that it seems to touch the sky. And not even the ones created by Hollywood, in my opinion, could touch this one for visual effects. You know, recently they had that movie about global warming. Warming. Do you remember that one? Did you?
The Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah, Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we saw a tidal wave coming in like that. The one that I was seeing was really several times bigger than that. So I don't really know where it is. I don't know if it's in the past or if it's in the future. And but you know, these things do happen, and I'm not sure. It just seemed like a wall of unstoppable water that touches the heavens, and with its height, it seemed to span the earth with its width. And I don't scare easily, but that particular one really made my knees shake.
Have your guides helped you discern what that might be, or is that still up in the air?
It's sort of still up in the air, and I think it probably depends a lot on us. And I think if our thoughts are in a good place with love and compassion, things like that, there might not be a need for the cataclysms to occur. Not to that extent, not to that magnitude. So if for some reason, as one consciousness group, the people of Earth, are able to feel some measure of balance and love and compassion, we never really get every single heart and every single human being feeling love and compassion for everyone else. But if there's a certain number, a certain portion of people that can come together in one consciousness, you know, to feel love and live in goodness and light, then I think it cuts the edge off of the cataclysms that we might go through, and our shifts forward and upward into the higher dimensions where we belong, where we will continue to move, will not be as cataclysmic as some of the past things, events that we've had when these things occur. Sometimes you leave one dimension and it's just completely shut down. It's like the doorway to that dimension is completely closed off, you know. So it just means we won't be going back there at all, ever. We're just moving forward.
Well,
yeah.
Moving forward is better than
moving backwards.
Yeah, yeah, so I'll
tell you what, we're just sort of like escaping from the matrix, you know.
Right.
Matrix,
right.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, though. Let's take a quick break.
Yeah.
Okay.
And come right
back. I have a lot of other things to talk about.
Yeah,
we do. Other questions and so on.
Yeah, I've got a list of all the things, and we're, like, so fascinated with cataclysms right now for some reason. But, yeah, we will move on. We'll move on, though, right after this quick break, where we'll remind you about past guests and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right here.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
www.ghostishfiles.net.pc at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll see you there. Hi, this is Lisa Butler, American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena. Our website is aacbp.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunkendialing.com.
Just when you thought it was safe, it's that late night booty call.
Drunkendialing.com.
www.drunkendialing.com.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with the hosts of Ghostbusting, Scott, Al, and Doug.